Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830-WCCO. And last week, we got the very disappointing news in the announcement that the University of Minnesota was cutting three men's sports due to COVID-19. Those sports being men's tennis, track and field, both indoor and outdoor, and men's gymnastics. Not something that any Gopher fan wants to hear, and somebody that holds Gopher athletics near and dear to his heart is John Roethlisberger. Former Gopher and Olympic gymnast, he joins us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. John, a pleasure to have you back on here on the show, and we talked a few months ago, and I hope that things are going well with you and your family.
They are. Thanks for having me back on. I wish it was under more exciting, fun circumstances, but I appreciate you helping us get the word out.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you on, man. But let's get to it. This is a hot-button topic that everybody's talking about. When you heard the news, John, last week about the cuts with Minnesota University of Minnesota men's athletics, we all see the impact economically, and it's not good with the coronavirus. But what was your initial reaction to the news?
Well, I'll be honest. It wasn't totally surprising, honestly, because I think as a male gymnast, you've kind of prepared yourself for this year. Your whole life, quite frankly, and men's gymnastics programs have been, getting hammered for a long time. But, with the current climate and economic climate right now, it's something we've all been talking about, and we've all been trying to figure out ways to get out in front of it, and not just this year, but years past. So it wasn't surprising, but I'll tell you what, it didn't make it less heartbreaking. And I've grown up on that university, literally. I've grown up. My dad coached there since 73. He was arguably one of the most successful coaches to ever step foot on that campus in any sport. And my sister went to that university. She was the first female NCAA champion from any sport at the University of Minnesota. And like I said, I grew up in the halls of Cook Hall, and I annoyed my dad's teammates for decades before I finally got on the team and participated. Maroon and gold runs through my veins, and it hurts, man. It hurts. Minnesota gymnastics has been there 117 years, over a century of tradition. And, tennis and track and field, too, they have strong traditions as well, and amazing coaches and amazing people that have come through those programs. So it's painful, and it's frustrating. I'm not going to lie. It's frustrating because, I understand the situations. I own a business. I have a family and a household that I have to keep afloat, and it's the same thing in my business. We cut expenses. We try to find a way to make it through this, and it's scary and it's difficult. But here's the thing that we do as a business is we problem solve, and we try to find a way to make things work, and we get our staff and employees involved in the process, because we all have the same goal. We all have the same vested interest and seeing our business succeed, just the way I want the university to act and proceed. And that's what's frustrating, is I don't feel that, honestly. And talking to people closest to this, whether it's people within the athletic department, certainly people within the gymnastics program, it doesn't feel like this was approached that, hey, let's figure out anything we can do to save these athletic traditions that have been here longer than any of them who made the decision have even been alive. And that's what's hard, is because I think there's a lot of smart people out there. There's certainly a lot of passionate people within all of those sports, not just men's gymnastics, that think college athletics is important. And I think involving those people in the process, everybody from the coaches on the team to coaches in the community, to business leaders in the community, to people at the university on a broader scale, to the USOC and the NGBs that govern these sports on a national and international level. All those people should be brought to the table, because the athletic director should be looking at this going, we need to find a way to save this. These are too important, not just because they're successful sports, but these are opportunities for young people. You know, if you, anybody that's listening has a child that does any sport, and I'm not talking about gymnastics or track and field and tennis, if you have a child that does a sport or a grandchild that does a sport, this should be important to you, because this isn't just a COVID pandemic situation. This is an epidemic that's going to keep hitting non-revenue Olympic sports at the collegiate level for years to come, until there's going to be very few left. And these are important opportunities. The same way you go to a university because they have, you know, a great biology department or architectural department, these opportune arts departments, music departments, you go there because they have an outstanding gymnastics program that's going to help you develop as a human being and get an education and go out in the world and change more lives. And that's where we're at. And it's very hard. It's frustrating. It's heartbreaking, especially someone like me that, you know, I don't know if you can find an athlete at Minnesota that went to Minnesota that's more passionate about their sport and has lived their sport at that university more than I have.
I can tell, man, this is a very personal thing for you. And we're talking to John Roethlisberger, former Gopher, Olympic gymnast, here on the on Late Night News Talk, 830 WCCO. And I echo all of your sentiments, man, because this is very it's extremely disappointing to hear about this. And one of the things that was brought up last week when this announcement came out from the athletic director, Mark Coyle, is the fact that, and look, I get it. I understand coronavirus, COVID-19, everybody's losing money. Economically, we're in bad shape right now. And talking about the department's going to lose and the university's going to lose $75 million. But even, you know, and I get it. I mean, that's a lot of money, right? But to me, it just seems like this is a little bit of jumping the gun. Like, I don't want to call it knee-jerk. I'll let you give me your opinion about what you think about it. But I get it. It's $75 million. But I think it's a little bit early in this pandemic to go ahead and just cut the sports like this, to me, at least in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. And I'm not – look, again, I'll use my – I own a business analogy. You know, the bottom line is the bottom line, whether – you know, whether we want to admit it or not, whether it comes across as heartless, it is at some level, it is the bottom line. And I get that. And I'm not, the point I'm trying to make isn't that I'm glossing over that or pretending that's not important. But you're right. Can you give us a month? Can you give us a couple months? Can you give us this year? They're already committed to men's gymnastics competing this year. Can you give us the better part of this next season? And let the people that have a vested interest in this come up with an answer, because I do agree with you. It's they've jumped the gun in a lot of ways, I feel like. In doing that, they've made this decision in a vacuum. And I know that sounds a little like hyperbole, but I really feel like it has. The fact that the people in the gymnastic community, the track community, the tennis community on a broader scale have not been involved in this process, I think is a little bit careless, and that's what is the most frustrating. The truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, everybody that's involved in the university, from the regents to the president to the administrators at the athletic department, Mark Coyle, we all are on the same side, and we all should absolutely want exactly the same thing. And the thing that we should want is opportunities for young people that have grown up participating in athletics, the opportunity to continue that at what I think is the greatest athletic opportunity any young person can have, and that's college athletics. And I will tell you this, and I've told people this my whole life, I love the Olympics. The Olympics were an amazing experience. I was fortunate to go 3 times, and I love representing my country. But I tell you what, I'd give it up if you made me choose between Olympic experience and my collegiate experience. I would give up my Olympic experience. College athletics is something that changes lives. It changes the lives of people that do it, and those people leave and they go on to change more lives. So, you know, yes, the long answer to your short question is, you know, I do think they jumped the gun. And at the end of the day, 6 months from now, 8 months from now, the answer might be the same, but I will know and you will know, and my kids that are 7, 5, and 2 will know that, man, you know, they did everything they could to save those athletic opportunities. And yeah, it's heartbreaking, but at least we tried. At least we turned over every stone. And I think ultimately that's what I'm asking the university to do. I'm asking Mark Coyle to do that. I'm asking the regents to do that and the president. And I think if we can, you know, activate the community and send that message to them, get on the university website, look up the regents' email addresses, Mark Coyle's email address. You can find them. They're on there. Email them, call them. And that's the message. It isn't, hey, don't, you know, it isn't a hostile phone call or email. It's, hey, we're on the same side. Work with us. Help us. Let us help you get to the goal that we all have. And that's athletic opportunities. And that's all we're asking. If the community out there feels passionate about these opportunities for young people, let your voice be heard. And I'm not just talking about gymnastics. I'm talking about track, tennis, and honestly, talking about wrestling. We're talking about women's gymnastics. We're talking about swimming and diving. We're talking about every single non-revenue sport that you might be sitting there thinking, well, the sport I participate in, we're safe. And I'm telling you, they're not. None of them are safe until, you know, we figure out an answer to making non-revenue sports sustainable for the long term. And I think ultimately that's the challenge in front of us.
Well, let me ask you this, John, because let's assume, okay, just for the sake of, you know, for an argument, let's assume that we have jumped the gun, right? Whether a person believes that or not, but let's just assume for a second that we've jumped the gun. Now there's a conversation being had about football and about whether they're going to actually have a season, because it sounds like there's a little bit of momentum here the last couple of days that they're going to be able to have the votes to go ahead and go into playing a football season. And we know that playing football means a lot more money. If that is indeed where we're at in terms of looking at football and generating revenue, don't you think that it would be only right to just kind of hit the pause button on cutting these three sports if we're going to talk about bringing football back and it's going to be a revenue generator?
Well, I certainly think that's another element to it. You know, I think that helps. I certainly think it doesn't hurt to sit and wait. Let's see what happens with football. I think the powers that be probably have a pretty good finger on the pulse of what type of revenue bringing football back would mean. And there's still going to be shortfalls. There's no way around that without fans, without the NCAA basketball tournament last spring, things like that. They know there's going to be shortfalls. But you're right. You know, there's going to be more revenue coming in than they anticipated when they cut football for the fall. And so, yeah, that's another piece of that whole puzzle. And again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, whatever they save by cutting these sports, is insignificant, because to you and me and most people in the world, that's a lot of money. But I tell you what, to the relative nature of the athletic department, it's like you've got a 100-room hotel, and you just went in one room and you vacuumed the carpet, and you've got the rest of the hotel still dirty. That's the equivalent of what you saved by cutting these athletic opportunities. So yes, I think it would be wise. We've already committed to spending the money on these sports for the next year. Why are we racing to get these guys out the door now when we have so many reasons to try to fight and find a way to save them?
Yeah, I'm with you. We're talking to John Roethlisberger, former Gopher and Olympic gymnast here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO, because we all understand economics and we all understand that we're dealing with tough times. But at the same time, as somebody that loves sports just like you and sports across the board, and somebody that's been a part of an Olympics like you, not in terms of actually being out there performing, but actually covering it, it's I understand that the Big Ten Network, like, for instance, is a network that makes a lot of money, which we should all be sharing in that success, you know, from a financial perspective. But when I look at it, you know, one of the things that's really, really heartbreaking about it is, and you touched on it about, you know, what the athletes go through and what they deal with and getting an opportunity to be on a big time college campus and to have that experience of being a gymnast or a tennis player or whatever. Right. I think that the heartbreaking part to me is that, although they've been told that they can keep their scholarship and stay on campus and let everything play out that way, they want to perform. They want to play. And there are going to be some of those athletes that will maybe pivot and go to another university because they have an opportunity to do that. But it's not the said university that they wanted to perform at, being the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine if this had if this had happened when I was there and I was told, hey, Minnesota's done, you know, you can go to Iowa or you can go to Michigan, or it would have been, I mean, I'm sure I would have, but it would have been devastating. And the fact is, Lake, that there's not going to be a lot of opportunities for these athletes to go to another university, because this is a problem a lot of universities are having, and that's kind of the broader piece of this puzzle. It's, yeah, how can we save these sports at Minnesota is what, you know, all of us closest to the university want to try to do. But the broader picture of this is college athletics is broken, and it's not a viable business model between, you know, how football has exploded financially over the last couple decades. It's real, and I'm not going to tell football how to spend their money, because in a certain degree, you don't want to bite the hand that feeds you, and I understand that to a degree, but the way they spend money as a whole and their priorities, at the end of the day, like, you know, the two things that you need to have a sport in college is you need a coach and you need a place to train. That makes a sport, is a coach and a place to train. And when you go into it with that fundamental attitude of, hey, let's provide, again, opportunities, participation, let's get wrestlers, let's get swimmers, let's get gymnasts, let's get a place for them to come and work out and get a coach, and the rest of it, you figure it out. And if you have that attitude and you look at the purity of what we do in athletics and how meaningful it is, and you go from there, it gives you a whole new outlook on what these student athletes are doing on campus and why we have college athletics. And I think we've gotten so far from that to the point where no matter what the sport is, it's got to be shinier and bigger and fancier and better than the guy across the street. And at some point, you can't sustain that. And it starts to erode, and it erodes first at those athletes that don't participate in the sport that generate revenue. And the purists out there will tell you, well, maybe they shouldn't have it if they can't raise revenue. And you know what? You can have that argument if you want, but I still think there's value there. And I think it's important for all these universities to maybe take this opportunity, take the pandemic, and make it an opportunity to step back and go, you know what? We need to rethink this business model, because this business model, it's broken. And these athletic opportunities, it might be, you know, a handful of sports at Minnesota right now and a handful at Iowa, but it's going to be hundreds of sports and athletic opportunities. It's going to be thousands of individual athletic positions at all these schools that are going to go away, and they're never going to come back. Unless a school steps up and goes, you know what, enough's enough. We're going to be the leaders. I hope it's my school. I hope it's the University of Minnesota that says, you know what, enough is enough. We're going to stand up. And we are going to be the leaders. We're going to be the ones that create our way out of this problem, not cut our way out of this problem. Because the university that figures a way to create this their way out of this problem is going to have a whole lot of followers around the rest of the country. And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that it's a golden gopher that can do it and be the leaders in that industry. Because again, it's going to be thousands of athletes that won't get a chance to be in college sports, and hundreds of sports that are going to go away at the collegiate level unless somebody does something.
Yeah, and you know, I honestly believe that, you know, because being from here and loving the University of Minnesota, I didn't attend there, but just always being a Gopher fan. I mean, truly, when we think about the Twin Cities and we think about the state of Minnesota, you know, people regard, and I do, the University of Minnesota as a world-class university. And if we want to continue to be viewed upon in that way, I think that you got to continue to have these other sports be a part of the university. If you want to be first rate, if you want to be world class, then I think that you got to continue to have these sports be a part of the university. I want to ask you this, and then we'll let you go. And we're talking to John Roethlisberger here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Give him a follow on Twitter at JR Flipfest. When you look at the situation and what we're all dealing with, I guess more or less, what would you say to any of the athletes that are out there that may be listening, that's currently a gymnast or tennis player, or, you know, they're emotionally down and out because they're really feeling bad about the decision that was made last week? If they're listening to the show right now, what do you have to say to those individuals on scholarship?
Well, I'll tell them what to do. They should keep doing what they've been doing their whole lives, and that's to fight. You know, that's to not give up. You know, you get on that tennis court and you can be down 2-0, but what you don't do is you give up. And I can tell you, gymnastics is a brutal, unforgiving sport, and you fall down far more times than you stay on in your life as a gymnast. And you know what? They all got knocked down. they all just fell off the pommel horse and off the high bar, and it hurts. But you get your butt back up there, and you chalk up, and you do it again. And you got to let your voice be heard. Go to the AD. Go to anybody who will listen. And also at the same time, be creative. Find answers to this problem, because it is going to be a collective effort. And they need to know that there's a lot of people behind them, people that have come before them that care and care that they get this opportunity. So, you know, I'm not going to tell them not to be sad and be upset and be a little bit heartbroken. That's a human emotion that, you know, sometimes you just need to feel it and let it sink in. But then you got to turn that into motivation, and you got to go out there and you got to fight for what you believe in and let people hear you, whether it's social media, whether it's writing letters, whether it's getting your family to write letters, your old club teammates that are still in high school, get them on the horse and get them on your side and let people hear why we should have college sports.
Hey, John, always a pleasure to have you on, my man. Anytime that you want to hop on the show and talk about issues with the University of Minnesota that are very near and dear to you, always let us know, man.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You take care and tell everyone up there in Minnesota I miss them and hope to get up there soon.
All right, take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.